I'm going to share a message today about something that has just become something so helpful to me in my framework for how I think in my relationship with God. I love to share it with people because sometimes it just helps to hear something in a different way, to assess yourself, to think, am I loving God? How can I love him more? He's done so much for me. I want to love him. So this morning I'm going to share about how we can love God with our head and our heart and our hands. In Matthew 22, an expert in the law tested Jesus with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" What an interesting question, right? Do you know how many? There's like 613 commandments in the Old Testament. What an interesting question for someone to come up to Jesus and say, hey, if you had to summarize all 613 commandments in the Old Testament, what would you say is the most important one? Jesus could have said anything. He summed it up in such a way that is so insightful into who God is and so insightful into God's word. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second, in case you wanted to know, here's the second most important one. The first is to love God. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and all of the prophets hang on these two commandments. So in other words, God wants us to love him, and he wants us to do it with every part of who we are. You know, that was a summary of the commandments. If you want to just summarize the whole Bible message, it would probably be, God loves you. But if you want to just answer the question about summarizing the commandments, it's, God wants you to love him back. And so this message isn't about how we earn his love. It's not a checklist of things we do to get him to love us. That's all through Jesus. But this message is, now that we've got Jesus, how do we love him out of gratitude that he deserves? So I'm going to talk about how we can love God with the three parts of who we are. So the first is love God with your mind. This is the mental part of who we are. And God wants us to use our head to love him with our thoughts, our thinking. This is our imagination, our logic and our reasoning, our beliefs and our convictions, our morals and our values, our conscience, our judgments. He wants us to devote our mind to learning about him and loving him with the knowledge that we gain. The next part of us, Jesus said to love the Lord with all of your heart and your soul. These are kind of interchangeable terms. This is the emotional part of us. God wants us to use our heart to love him with our feelings. This is our emotions, our affections, our intuition, our motives, our character, our will, our desire, our passion. And then finally, he says, love the Lord with all of your strength. I think I grew up more thinking about strength as resilience and endurance than I have a physical part of us. But when you read the whole Bible, and you just see the emphasis there is on doing ministry and serving people and loving your neighbor as yourself, that involves our action, right? And so this is our muscle. It's our body. He wants us to love him with our energy, our abilities, our commitments, our behavior, our habits, our sacrifices. Love the Lord with all of your strength. So we're going to look at how to love God with each part of who we are. But before we do that, I want to talk about how there's a natural tendency to gravitate toward one expression of love and be really strong in that and kind of neglect other parts. And when we do that, we have a fragmented faith. We become fragmented people. But they all play a significant role in the Christian faith. You could read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, get a journal, and mark sections, head, heart, hands, and just take notes on where Jesus was loving God with his thoughts and his passion and his action. He's the ultimate example for us. So I want to break this down and give a couple examples. So here's a guy named Ron, and he says, God knows I love him based on what I believe. Let me tell you about Ron. Ron became a Christian in high school. In college, he majored in philosophy. He loved to read books, and he loved to attend debates. He was confident in what he believed and why he believed it. However, Ron didn't pray very often. Investing in a local church or campus ministry was a real low priority for him. He lacked compassion, and he actually looked down on other Christians who didn't have the theological depth that he did, and he viewed them as shallow. Ron captures this idea of the faith of the head. It reduces Christianity to a set of beliefs and doctrines, and it's primarily just a worldview that you adhere to. And when it comes to people converting to Christianity, that transformation is just about how you think. I thought this way, now I think this way. And so you could see how that's not a healthy way to love God. Let me tell you about Jolene. She says, God knows I love him based on what I feel. Jolene was less focused on theology and valued deep emotion. She helped lead worship at church. Her friends saw her as enthusiastic and passionate. She loved stories of unexplainable spiritual experiences that drew people nearer to God. She yearned to feel God's presence and power. Jolene read the Bible, but it wasn't for knowledge. It was to get a spiritual fix. Her decisions weren't based on wise input from other people or the Bible, but on her own subjective interpretations of God's will. Jolene looks down on other Christians who don't have the spiritual depth she has and views them as insincere. This is when a person has the faith of the heart. It reduces Christianity to feelings and affections and spiritual experiences. It's about encounters with God only. So conversion is primarily about brokenness and shattered pride and experiencing God. And then finally, let me tell you about Reuben. Reuben says, God knows I love him based on what I do. Reuben grew up in church, and he emphasized doctrine and personal piety. When he went to college, he was exposed to many new ways of thinking. These didn't cause him to reject his faith, but he believed his faith needed to be radically different than how he was raised. He was ready to get his hands dirty. He wanted to embody Jesus' teachings. His focus was acts of justice and compassion, addressing issues of the environment and race and poverty. However, he didn't nurture his spirituality. He didn't make time for church. Instead of reading the Bible, he read books on social issues. Reuben concluded that many things churches do are not sincere, but hypocritical forms of religiosity. This was a faith of the hands. It says that Christianity is at its core not about beliefs and doctrines and mystical experiences or inward feelings. Instead, true faith is reduced to an outward expression of divine realities. This makes conversion all about is exchanging an old way of life for a new pattern of life. So as you can see, we possess a deeply flawed and inadequate faith when we separate Christian thought and passion and action from each other. When loving God and loving people is reduced to only one aspect of who we are, our lives are fragmented and in conflict with how God made us to be. Real quick, turn to the person next to you and tell them, which of the three people do you relate to the most? Okay, I want to share an illustration. It's kind of a silly one, but I want to do this to help you remember. So raise your hand if you've seen the movie The Wizard of Oz. Does someone want to volunteer and come up here and answer 10 trivia questions? Yeah, here we go. I put you on the spot. All right, so stand here by the mic. All right. After L. Frank Baum wrote the novel in 1900, what year was the musical released?
37?
Ooh, so close. Good. 1939. God. Of the 6 Academy Awards the film received, what was voted Best Original Song?
Oh, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
There we go. Yeah, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Okay, you'll get this one. Which actress played Dorothy Gale?
Judy Garland.
There you go. What state did Dorothy live in?
In the movie?
Hey, shh.
In the movie?
You're not up here. In the movie.
Okay, so what state did Dorothy live in, not Judy Garland? It's Kansas.
We're not in Kansas anymore. Okay, what was her dog's name?
Toto.
There you go. After a tornado hit their farm and knocked Dorothy unconscious, where did she awaken in her dream?
Oz.
Yes, the Munchkin Land in the Land of Oz. Yeah. What did Glinda, the Good Witch of the North, give Dorothy that made the Wicked Witch of the West try to kill her?
The ruby slippers.
Ruby slippers, good job. Where did Glinda tell Dorothy to go in order to meet the wizard who could help her get back home?
At the end of the Yellow Brick Road.
There you go. That's right. The Emerald City. The end of the Yellow Brick Road. On her way to the Emerald City, which three individuals does Dorothy meet and befriend?
Cowardly Lion, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man.
That's right. The Scarecrow, the Tin Woodman, and the Cowardly Lion. All right, last one. How did Dorothy eventually get home?
She clicked her heels and wished it.
Three times?
Yeah.
And she said, there's no place like home. All right, give him a hand. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
I was telling my wife about this lesson while we're driving in the car, and she burst into song, and she goes, if I only had a brain. And when she said that, I thought, oh, that'd be a good illustration. I realized that Dorothy's three friends each were missing something significant in their life. Okay, the Scarecrow said, if I only had a brain. The Tin Woodman said, if I only had a heart. And the Cowardly Lion said, if I only had the nerve, the will to do something, the courage. The Wizard of Oz makes a great illustration. Have you been struggling to love God with your head, with your brain, with your mind, with your intellect? If so, then you're kind of like the Scarecrow. If I only could love God with my mind, how would my relationship with God be different? Then you got the Tin Woodman. Have you been struggling to love God with your heart? If I only could love God with my feelings, my emotion. You know, there's a neat verse in Ephesians that talks about the love of God that surpasses knowledge, to become experiential, to be something that happens to us. Before, we're talking about which of the people do we relate to, and this one is really focusing on which of the three are we lacking the most. And maybe you struggle to love God with your hands, and then you're like the Cowardly Lion. If I only had the nerve, if I only could love God with my actions, with my hands, if I could take my knowledge and my passion out of my heart, out of a church building, into the world and just do it and show it. I know a lot of stuff. I feel the right things, but I'm just not doing it. If I only could love God with my hands. Each of these help each other. Our thoughts influence our passion. The way we think influences the things we're passionate about. And in the way we think influences the things that we do. That's why our mind is so important, that we love God with our mind. And what we're passionate about also affects the things that we do and the things that we think. And the actions influence the things that we think and the things that we feel. They all are connected to each other. This is who we are as people. And so, what are some practical and specific ways we can love God with our head? We've got to commit ourselves to welcoming truth in our lives. Do you welcome truth? Do you say, God, I want to learn? Never stop learning. Be like if you get married and you just never wanted to know anything else about your husband or your wife. We've got to learn about them. It's a lifelong responsibility. And so here's some ways you can love God with your mind. Just examine your faith and reevaluate your beliefs. Don't hide your doubts, but leverage them to find the answers. Read the Bible. Read books on Christian theology and Christian living and church history and biographies and fiction and apologetics and ethics and world religions. Go to Bible class and small group, Bible study. Listen to podcasts. Go to conferences. Watch sermons and debates on YouTube. Write down your questions when you have them and take them to mature Christians and church leaders. Get to the bottom of them. Consider formal theological training if that's an option. You can do a lot of seminary online nowadays. Focus on the lyrics of the songs that you sing. Think about how much stronger you'd be as a Christian if you picked one topic a year to just study it really deeply. Study the names of God. Study messianic prophecy. Get some commentaries. Tackle one book of the Bible at a time. Study God's creation, the universe, the human body, and animals and plants. These are things he made. Let's love him with our mind. How about our heart? What are some practical, specific ways we can love God with our heart? We need to commit ourselves to welcoming passion in our lives. I think a good place to start is just to come clean about that with God. You know, Jesus talked about, hey, you can love me with your lips, but your heart can be far from me. I want your heart, not just your lip service. So confess that. Prioritize prayer. And pray, God, just like David in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation, because I've lost it. Experiment with postures when you worship God. Be with him in creation. You know, I talked about a husband and a wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend. They love each other because they prioritize time together. It's the same with God. We need to date God, you know? Go on a personal retreat day once a month or something. Take your Bible. Write some songs. Write some poems. Spend time with people who are particularly on fire. And that's important. If you want to love God with your heart, it's to surround yourself with people that help you do that. Buy some Christian worship music. Get on iTunes. You know, just like King David, read the Psalms. He loved God with his heart because he sang songs to God. And God provided those for us to do the same. Go to Christian concerts. All right, those are some ideas. How about the last one? Here's some practical ways we can love God with our hands. We've got to commit ourselves to welcoming action in our lives. Learn from Jesus, his teachings, his example. Just like you would learn from a master chef how to cook. Just like you'd learn from a master golfer how to golf well. Jesus is the master teacher. If you want to learn about action, you want to learn about going and doing something in this world and making a difference, just study him, the master. Familiarize yourself with the serving opportunities. All the stuff that's just going on in this church. There's stuff going on in our community. Get involved if you're not. Experiment in different ways and find your sweet spot. A funny illustration of it, if you have a size 34 waist and you're walking around wearing size 32 pants, can you wear those pants? Yes. Can you wear them for a long time and be comfortable? No. That's kind of how ministry is sometimes too. We can do something and not really thrive in it. So experiment. Try on a different pair of pants. The important part is you wear pants. So leverage your gifts and your resources that God gave you to advance his kingdom. Help international students learn English and hear about Jesus to meet people's spiritual needs and their physical needs. Pray for your friends who are far from God and invite them out for coffee or over for lunch. Ask them questions. Ask them what questions they have. Share a book with them. Share your testimony with them. Share the gospel. And finally, go on a mission trip. Lots of organizations will help you. Some churches already have missionaries to support, so they go visit those missionaries. But a neat thing with Let's Start Talking is they plan the whole trip from start to finish for you. It's not just college students that go on these trips. People of all ages, just about anywhere in the world. You raise some funds, and then they use those funds to provide travel and lodging and food, and they train you with the resources. They hang posters and line up people to come study English with you, and they hear about Jesus. So cool. Thank you for letting me be here with you today, and I hope you've been encouraged to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. Thank you.